Listen to me. I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
A little bit of Our soundtrack there, but that dialogue or monologue there is from 50 Shades of Grey. That's Christian Grey explaining things to Anastasia there. This weekend, 50 Shades of Grey is expected to dominate the box office with $60 million in ticket sales. Domination is big business now. The book 50 Shades of Grey has also been cited as the reason behind increased sales of sex toys, brisk trade in BDSM titles, that's bondage, domination, sadism, and masochism titles on the paperback shelves. Cindy Gallup is the creator of the website Make Love Not Porn and the author of Make Love Not Porn: Technology's Hardcore Impact on Human Behavior. Cindy, welcome back.
Delighted to be here, John.
Happy 50 Shades of Grey Friday the 13th.
Thank you.
There's been talk that a movie like this, not unlike what happens in hardcore porn, raises expectations among couples and particularly among young people who are entering sexual relationships for the first time. Do you think 50 Shades of Grey raises an expectation that you got to like handcuffs to be normal?
Well, I'm very conflicted about 50 Shades of Grey, John, because there are three reasons I hate it and there are three reasons I love it. The three reasons I
now,
hate...
Now, is this the whole phenomenon or just the movie?
Actually, the book and the movie.
Okay.
Because I saw the movie last night and I feel the same way about it as I did the book. So the three reasons I hate 50 Shades of Grey are, A very badly written book and actually not a particularly riveting movie. B, it's the Mills and Boone Cinderella story, you know, knight in a white charger rescues woman but in modern day clothes. And C, it has all the hallmarks of a thoroughly abusive relationship. Three reasons I hate it. The reasons I love it are, to your point, it de-kinkifies sex that many more people will be thoroughly enjoying if society hadn't told them, oh, it's kinky, you can't do that. It has obviously galvanized, and the movie will galvanize and refresh a number of relationships and marriages. And the third reason I love it is because it does exactly what we're doing with Make Love Not Porn. It socializes sex. It brings it out in the open and it makes it socially acceptable and shareable. And those are three very good things.
And those 6 points there really cast 50 Shades of Grey in the same role that erotic Victorian literature had, that it was all about male domination. It was all about the patriarchy. It had all the worst habits of the Victorian age, but it also was a therapeutic corrective to bringing sex out into the open, making people more fundamentally honest, and sort of getting rid of all of these pretensions about sexuality and allowing people to have more fun. So I guess that's a good thing on balance.
It is. And but at the same time, and forgive the dreadful pun, it's a very grey area because as I say, there are pros and there are cons. And the one thing I will say about the movie is that, call me old-fashioned, but I would have liked a whole lot more sex in it, and I would have liked a whole lot more of Jamie Dornan naked. And I think that was a real missed opportunity because the movie world as a whole has gone backwards. If 50 Shades of Grey had been made in the 70s, we would have seen some really interesting, authentic depictions of dominant submissive sex. And we would also have seen a whole lot more of Jamie Dornan full frontal versus restricting that as Hollywood does to the woman.
So more male nudity and more edge if this was in the 70s.
Absolutely. And when I say edge, I don't just mean graphic. I mean literally a really interesting exploration of sexuality as a fundamental human driver and of what people really do and how messy, conflicted, ridiculous, wonderful and beautiful we all are when it comes to real world sex.
So there's a lot of hype about, oh, I've got a great secret to tell you. But then when you actually hear the secret, it's like nothing important at all. Hollywood has Hollywoodized this whole notion of secret sex.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, 50 Shades glosses over all of that in a way that actually isn't doing justice to the really interesting things about BDSM as a way of sexual exploration, of releasing all sorts of things that people often don't examine within themselves. There's a really, really interesting examination we made there. And unfortunately, the movie is very superficial when it comes to that.
All right. So what do you say to the people who are, you know, driving or, you know, have their kids in the back seat and are, you know, now screaming about they're never going to contribute to public radio again because they're talking about BDSM, how do you make the point that this should be out in the open? Forget 50 Shades of Grey, that this is something that's worth exploring, that's healthy to actually talk about.
Well, to your point, to every parent squawking right now about the fact we're having this conversation, I would say, do something for me. Go to Google, enter the word porn into the search box, as millions of kids do every day. Take a look at the 10 sites that will come up on the first page of Google when you do that. Go to each of those sites, take a long, hard look at that homepage, and then tell us we shouldn't be having this conversation. I'm all for anything that forces more open, healthy discussion around sex in the real world, because that will absolutely prevent many, many things that will make you and your children very unhappy unless you adopt a more open, healthy, and honest attitude towards the fact that we all have sex, we all enjoy it, and it needs to be talked about.
If you don't preempt the expectations about sexuality by open, honest discussion, then those expectations will be determined by disgusting websites, abusive websites, or bad movies like Fifty Shades of Grey.
Absolutely.
Do you think Fifty Shades of Grey has changed anything? The sales of toys, the branding of handcuffs?
Absolutely, Gerald. And obviously I'm biased because, again, this is what my own startup, Make Love Not Porn, is all about. But I love the fact that 50 Shades is the first socially acceptable, socially shareable erotica out there. It has demonstrated the enormous amount of money to be made out of socially acceptable sex. Right now, at this point in time, E.L. James is the single highest income grossing author in the world. She has out-earned Dan Brown, Michael Crichton, Jim Patterson, and it also demonstrates the power of something I say a lot, which is that there is a huge amount of money to be made out of taking women seriously.
So, Cindy, you should write the well-written sex book.
I'm not a writer. I am absolutely about helping this conversation. I do that with Make Love Not Porn, but I couldn't write it.
Cindy Gallup, the creator of the website Make Love Not Porn and the author of Make Love Not Porn Technology's Hardcore Impact on Human Behavior. Thanks so much, Cindy.
Pleasure to be here.
For better or worse, a lot of discussion about a topic that you may find taboo to talk about in public. What do you think is so difficult to talk openly and honestly about sex in America? Paul Green Beckenstein writes to us on Facebook, "It's a subject filled with unresolved shame for women, either because so many girls have grown up with images of women as sexual objects and they learn to associate desire with pornography, or because parents implicitly teach their daughters to repress their desires." That's Paula Green Beckenstein. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. Much more at thetakeaway.org.
Support for The Takeaway comes from LegalZoom. For over 10 years, providing solutions for business owners to get legal help, including corporate filings, legal plans featuring attorney contract review, and tax advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.